Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Leveraging LinkedIn call. This is Rhea Story, and joining with me tonight is Mac.
Hello, Rhea.
Hi, hey, hello. So we are.
Like I've just spent the day with you.
I think you did.
Okay.
So we are so excited to have you all joining us tonight. You know, your time is an investment, and you've certainly made an investment in yourself tonight. So, number one, we appreciate that, and we appreciate the opportunity to pour into you and kind of share some of the things that we have learned about just how powerful LinkedIn can be. So we're going to jump right into the good stuff. A couple of housekeeping things before we get started. I've placed the lines on mute to minimize any background noise, and we'll open the call up toward the end of the call to take questions. So if you have a question in the meantime or something that we need to clarify or go back over, feel free to jot that down, and we'll definitely address that toward the end of the call. Also, of course, we are being recorded, and even if you want to go back later and listen to the recording, that link will be posted. I've sent out that link and information and everything of where it'll be posted on our website. It won't be posted until tomorrow, but once that's available, you can, you know, if you wanted to listen to the call again, feel free to do so. Mac, you want to, any opening thoughts before we jump into some of the stuff?
Well, I know there's a lot of people that may be on the call that don't know me, so I have to tell them, just like I do from the stage all the time, that I'm bilingual, and not to impress them, but to warn them, I speak English and country, and sometimes at the same time, so I apologize if that throws anybody off, but I'm excited to share this. You know, as you know, Rhea, we don't want to be in a LinkedIn coaching business. That's not our passion and our purpose, but we've learned a lot that a lot of other people don't seem to have learned yet, so you and I decided to put this call together to share with anyone who might be interested what we've learned through 4,000 or 5,000 hours of trial and error through LinkedIn over the last 2.5 years. And I know you and I both have spent 2 to 3 hours every day. And when we tell people that, they don't understand we mean every day. That means Saturday and Sunday every week. And that means every weekday. And that means every holidays. We can't get away from this thing. And because once you kind of get it going, you don't have to keep it going, but it's we don't want to waste our effort, so we do keep it going. So you and I, we're always doing this. So we're going to share with people what we've learned, and there are no shortcuts, but what we're going to be teaching is how to grow your LinkedIn network organically in a way that you do get activity. You can go out and see a lot of people who have tons of connections, but you go look at their blogs and their likes, and nobody's paying any attention to them, about like me on Facebook. But, you know, some people know that some people on the call may have got here through Facebook, and I put that message on there to try to inspire people and show them the difference, because every single thing I've put on LinkedIn, I've put on Facebook, everything. And Facebook is like dead, and LinkedIn is thriving, and, you know, we get most of our business from LinkedIn. And just to share with folks that may not know, and it's not to impress anyone, but to inspire them that if you do this, this is what will happen. Because basically in 2014, I heard a mentor say, and all I heard was one line. I didn't get all this stuff that you and I are about to share, and you know the backstory, but our audience doesn't. But I heard one mentor say, if I had to choose my website or my LinkedIn account, and I had to turn one of them off, I wouldn't think 2 seconds about it. I'd turn off my website. And that was all I needed to know to figure out everything that we're going to share tonight and to get the results we've gotten. All I needed to hear was that. And I got proactive, and I went and got engaged, and I started figuring out all this stuff. My mentor didn't tell me all this stuff. I went and figured it out. And you helped me. You got on board, and we both started going through this and synergizing together and coming up with ideas. And today, we're the same way. You can obviously have both. You don't have to make that choice. But LinkedIn is our platform. So that's really my pitch here at the beginning.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so, you know, and it's funny. I remember it's been several months ago when we came up with just this thought of how we could share some of this information with a bunch of people. And we were sitting, I think we were in Arizona, and trying to brainstorm of what would be really valuable, what would be really helpful, and some of the things that we have learned how to do just from trial and error and trying different things and seeing what doesn't work. So it's always exciting when we can, you know, like you said, there aren't any shortcuts, but it's always exciting when we can maybe help somebody navigate a roadblock a little bit faster, certainly faster than we did, because it's taken us a few years to get here.
Yep, and I'd like to tell everyone as we get going, too, that we're going to teach you some stuff about personal branding. You know, we're in the speaking, coaching, training, leadership development business, but everyone on the call may not be, but we're going to teach principles. Our stories may apply to us and what we're doing, but the principles we're going to apply or speak about apply to anybody in any business. And so part of that is, and I want to set this up front, kind of declaring intent and painting a picture, because I shared with an actual coaching client today who I was coaching about LinkedIn, and I told him that this call that I was doing, they're not on this call, but they get private coaching. But the thing I told him was, we're actually doing this not to sell stuff. We ain't trying to get coaching clients and do anything. We did want to get people who were serious to pay to be on the call, but we were risking the stuff we're going to teach you here. We were risking some of our followers by even promoting this call, because people don't follow us for LinkedIn support, and we're not pushy, salesy, markety. I call it predatory marketing, selling. We're not those people. But it kind of looked like that when we were trying to promote this call. But the reason I was willing to do that was because I want people to go out and be successful. And I see a lot of people struggling. This is not anything we're going to do on a regular basis and don't want to do it, that sort of stuff. But we're doing it today, and I hope everybody gets some value out of it. So let's get rolling, Rhea.
All right. So sounds good. So we'll kind of start just at the 30,000-foot view kind of thing. You know, one of the reasons Mac and I are so passionate about using LinkedIn, because we see the power and the value added, is because we've seen some of the results. We've booked major speaking engagements from relationships that started on LinkedIn, and maybe not even direct relationships, simply someone who is maybe not even a direct connection, but a second or third connection. Who follows you for a little while and, you know, wants to see who you truly are, kind of looks at your content, looks to see, you know, who you are all of the time through your social media platform. And then, you know, after a couple of months, reaches out to us when they have a need and then says, hey, you know, we're having this conference, we'd like to bring you in. So I think that that's really opened our eyes to just the power of having a LinkedIn profile. Because as Max said, The professionals who are on LinkedIn and are active on LinkedIn are using it at a much higher level of awareness. And again, there's nothing wrong with, you know, whether it's Twitter or Facebook. I mean, there's Snapchat. There's many social media platforms. But our experience has been that LinkedIn has just been a more engaged level of professional, and those are the people that tend to reach out to book us for engagements.
Yeah, and it's been pretty amazing. I mean, we just got one last week, but last Saturday morning. And I'd like for everyone to know also, if 2014, when we started this, we didn't have any engagement on LinkedIn. We had not got any business. We didn't share any memes, any quotes, any blogs. We basically there's levels of awareness of people who are on Facebook, and then there's another level of awareness of people who are actually aware that LinkedIn has a place basically to put your resume online, and that's what a lot of people do with it. And that's what we had done with it up until the end of 2014. I had about less than 1,000 connections from 8 years of being on LinkedIn. And now since 2014, doing what we're going to teach here, we've booked tens of thousands of dollars of business. And I don't say this to impress you, but for people to know, I mean, one of those calls, and I'll say this, one reason we have paid account, there's plenty of reasons, and we're not here to teach you how to use LinkedIn. We're here to teach you how to leverage LinkedIn. But one reason that Rhea and I both have a paid account, and we have the one that is around $59 and a month.
The LinkedIn, the premium.
And the number one reason we have that is because it allows our account to be fully visible to everybody. And that's why we're on LinkedIn. We want to be visible. So we definitely want to be visible to everybody. I've had some clients say, well, I don't know if I want everybody to see my stuff. I mean, why not? That's why we're there. And it was funny because the client actually figured out everybody sees his website. Anybody in the world can click on and see his website, his content there. Why not on LinkedIn? And he had a paradigm shift and started realizing that Maybe he did want to be on a paid account where everybody could see his stuff. And I tell you, and Rhea touched on it, and I'll tell you, I'm a little more transparent than Rhea, but it's to show you what can actually happen in our business, in the speaking business. We had a client who was a third connection, who was the chief technology officer of a $3 billion company, reporting to the CEO of that company. He sent us a message on Saturday morning, said, "I want to speak to you about speaking at our event." 6 days later, we had a $20,000 speaking engagement. This was a third connection. This person would never have seen us, and I don't even know the person. I got to meet him at the event when we spoke there, but I didn't know him. And he did exactly what Rhea said. I've been following you for 3 months. And that's what this whole call is about, what I'm about to say right here. He's been following me for 3 months, and this was his exact words, is, "I already know who you are." He said, "I've already been reading your posts, your memes. I've looked at your website. I know about your books, and this is the book I want to speak on." So everything we're going to talk about kind of moving forward is about building your own personal brand around whatever your business is. But regardless of your business, I just wrote a book called Who's Selling You? Or excuse me, Who's Buying You? Until you sell yourself, you won't sell much. And a lot of people miss that. We're always selling ourselves. And that's what this whole call is about. How do you sell yourself, whoever you are, whether you want to grow in your professional career and get a different job in the same company even, or in a different company, or if you have your own business, who are you? And people need to know who you are. And LinkedIn is a perfect way to present that to the world.
Sure. Okay. So talk a little bit about, as you kind of started, because you are well ahead of me, as you started growing that connection base, why it was important to kind of begin with the end in mind, as we say.
Okay. So if you've heard of Simon Sinek, S-I-M-O-N-S-I-N-E-K, Simon's real popular for the book Start With Why. And even if you've read his book, even if you watched the video, I'm going to tell you right now, go watch his video. Look it up on YouTube. Start With Why. If you find the original, it's gotten over 20 million views. It's one of the most watched TEDx talk videos. And you'll hear me talk about a lot of principles. That's everything about your LinkedIn. You need to start with why. And watch Simon's video and watch it with intent that I need to learn the principles that he's going to teach me, so that when somebody comes and looks at my profile, they know who I am, they know what I'm about, they know what I believe, they know about my character. And if you're in business selling something, you tell them about that, obviously, tell them about your services, but that's better to have on a website. Your services, products, all that kind of stuff is better to have on a website, but you don't have to have them on a website. You can have it, talk about it on LinkedIn. What you don't want to do is hard selling people, because if you're trying to hard sell, and that's all people get from you is an opportunity to buy something, you're not going to have a big following. You're not going to have a big tribe, a lot of interaction, because people come to us because we give constantly. And that's a principle, and Napoleon Hill talks about it. He calls it the law of increasing return, and he did it himself when he studied 20 years of highly successful people in the early 1900s. He didn't get paid for that. He got paid tremendously later, and that's what you have to do. You have to be given. And if you want to build your personal brand, if I wanted to go try to get a better job than I've got today inside my own company or another company, if I can position myself as a person of knowledge and character relative to that position or whatever it is, or to my profession, then I can start putting out content. I don't have to be a famous author to put out content. I can read books. I can put out quotes. I can put an excerpt from a book, and I can add my thoughts to it. I can put 10 of my favorite quotes, and in between each one of those quotes, I can go in and put my own thinking. And that's what people need to see. Somebody says, "Who's going to care what I think about?" Nobody, till they know what you think about. And then when they know what you think about, you'll start attracting the right people. And the people who like it will share it, and they're going to be attracted already to other people like themselves, and that's how it will broadcast out. So make sure you watch Start With Why, because we're going to share some things that when people start looking at your site, your profile, they need to see all this. Kind of like if you invite company over to your home, you don't wait till they get there and clean up. You clean up before they come. And beginning with the end in mind, things that we're going to share for the rest of the call and throughout the call, we want people to come look at your profile and see who you are and what you believe so they can choose to follow you. Most people's profile, hardly nothing on it. There's no activity. They don't have blogs. They don't have memes. So when somebody comes and sees it, I mean, why do I want to follow somebody's resume? That's not a very exciting thing to do is follow a resume. You're not going to get a lot of followers like that.
And, you know, really posting the content, the memes and the blogs and just having that abundant mindset and kind of giving away some of your content, but sharing that and becoming that resource, number one, it helps keep you top of mind. I know you and I are getting some incredible number of engagement with people is averaging like 300,000 a week between the two of us. And that's
staying
top of mind.
No one can see. Well, go ahead, Rhea.
I was just going to say, just staying top of mind and interacting with people. And, you know, that's comments, that's likes on pictures. And I know my 90-day average of profile views for LinkedIn is almost 9,000. So just, you know, as you said, posting that content helps you stay top of mind, but it also gives people a reason to come back and to follow you and to look for that because they see you as that resource. You know, if you're putting out good quotes, whatever your field is, or good content, you know, you could be selling real estate. If you're putting out good, interesting blogs for homeowners, they'll start to follow you. And then who do they call when they need a real estate agent? So it's not about using so much of a marketing sales pitch, but rather giving the content and the value so that you create that platform.
Exactly. Just and assume you have a job, you're an engineer, and you want to get a better engineering job in your same company or another company. Whatever it is you work on and you're passionate about relative to that, that's what you write about. Let people know you're passionate about it. That's what it shows. Nobody's going to do what you and I do unless they're passionate about it. And that's where you're selling your own brand. And, you know, if you're on the call listing, we're not sharing these numbers to brag on ourselves or to impress you in any way. We are sharing them, though, so you know actually what's going on in being transparent. So you know, like Rhea said, she's getting 9,000 views every 90 days. I remember when I started this, I was getting like 27 views. Mine's in the 7,000s right now, and Rhea's has been a 9,000. She got half as many connections, around 16,000, 17,000. I've got 32,000 now. And one reason she gets so much more activity is because she started doing what we're teaching you tonight a little bit after I did. So I had learned a lot and synergized with her. What I'm trying to say is she started out with much better method, much more intentionality than I did. So she's already got a much better, even though I got a really good foundational base, she's got a much better foundational base percentage-wise.
Okay, so something else that I just, and this one's kind of just a little something, but I see this a lot because a lot of people just don't know about it. When you're on your LinkedIn profile and you sign up for a LinkedIn account, LinkedIn assigns you your unique URL that's linkedin.com/in/, it's usually your name and then some numbers. But you can edit that in your LinkedIn account. It's under your contact and personal information and go to edit that. And you can usually edit out those numbers. And that's the first thing I recommend to a lot of my clients when I talk to people because it makes you look more professional. You know, if you have a LinkedIn/in/your name link versus a bunch of random numbers, it makes you look like you are somebody. And again, that's just a little something, but it's something you can do that certainly is much better to put on your business cards or any promotional things that you hand out because it says, hey, I'm me. The other thing a lot of people may or may not realize is that even if you don't have a website, you know, you can reach so many people through LinkedIn, but go ahead and invest in your own name domain or your own brand of website. You don't have to build a website with it. You can have that domain redirect to your LinkedIn profile. So you could put your website, for example, I have a website, rheastory.com. I can put that on business cards. I could direct that to my LinkedIn profile if I didn't want to go through getting a a website built, and I could still have a living, breathing website with content and engagement on LinkedIn. And it, you know, that costs you, you know, like $12 a year. So go ahead and get that. You know, you can always redirect it later if you'd like, but go on and secure that. Another thing, just before you really draw traffic to your LinkedIn profile, ask for some LinkedIn recommendations. You know, ask from those recommendations from people you know or from people you've helped. You know, a lot of times when we speak, or you and I know this, Mac, a lot of times people say, well, gosh, that was great. It's okay to ask them to say, hey, if you enjoyed it, give me your LinkedIn recommendation, because those are credibility. You know, when someone comes to your LinkedIn profile and they see you have some LinkedIn recommendations, that says, hey, you've added value to people. So I think that's important.
And again, what you're trying to establish is your competency, what you know. But before that, it's your character, who you are. Because everybody's selling something, like I mentioned. So first thing you got to sell is you. We're always selling two things, our sales first and then the product. Someone may come to you, no matter what business you're in, and they actually want and need your product. But until they buy you, even if you've got the product and it's at the great price and all that, whatever it is, until they buy into you, they're not going to buy in the product from you. So it's one of the things I wrote about in that the new sales book, because today the customer has the advantage. And it's a smartphone. They've always got it in their hand. Or if they're on the Internet, it is, you know, the Internet. So they can learn about you. They can compare you with everybody else. They can compare products. They can compare prices. So you don't have an advantage. The buyer no longer has to beware. Now the seller has to beware. And that's why who you are, your personal brand, your image, who you are 24/7, 365 is who you are. And they could be bad stuff about you written out there and you don't even know it. They could be good stuff written about you and you don't even know it. But somebody who's trying to find out about you, who you are, before they do business with you, they're going to know all about it. And that's why, you know, part of all of this, everything that we're doing is whoever you are personally, your character side, and I would say regardless of what business you're in, if I was a real estate agent, my LinkedIn profile, everything on it, everything I memes, blogs, everything would look like I was a real estate agent. My Facebook would look like I'm a real estate agent. Mac Story would. That's the way I would be. I would be consistent. A lot of people, they go to work, they do something, they're one person here, especially on LinkedIn. A lot of people will try to be professional on LinkedIn, and you go look at the Facebook, and it's like a completely different person. Or a lot of people are just inconsistent. Bree and I, you were talking about this earlier tonight. Just say, for instance, us in the leadership business. I may put out a quote or a blog, something leadership. That's all we do. We don't have personal social media. We don't need it. We have no desire for it. We don't take pictures of what we ate for supper last night. Some people do, and that's great. But that would separate us. If you and I were, say, Rhea, you were just like we are today. You're professional. Let's say I was a mix. I got stuff about my life. I got a picture of me having a drink at the beach or my dog doing this and a quote and leadership. If everything was equal and somebody looked at your profile, looked at my profile on LinkedIn, we'd look the same. But then they say, well, let's keep looking to see who they really are. They would see you're the same. They could see no difference. And then when they come look at me, they see, well, Mac's all over the place. I wouldn't appear, and I wouldn't be as professional as you, much less that I would appear that way. I actually wouldn't be that way, because if I was professional as you, I wouldn't be putting this other stuff on. I would have my brand. Everywhere I went is who I am. And a lot of people miss that.
So it's important to be consistent, but, you know, be yourself. But a lot of times where we see those results come from is being able to move to that next level of focus, that next level of intentionality, that next level of consistency. You know, absolutely, be yourself.
And get a professional picture if you don't have it on LinkedIn. Some people don't even have a picture. And
you're right.
That's the saying. Get a professional picture. Be who you are. You ain't got to be in a tux, but, you know, don't have it where you got somebody cropped out at the club last weekend. You know, have a professional looking picture and be that person. You mentioned, Rhea, too, comparing website to LinkedIn. Website is static. You kind of touched on this. Website pretty much is fixed. You can go in and edit it, but people are not editing websites every day. They update them, revise them, that sort of stuff. Maybe they put a blog on them occasionally. But LinkedIn, if you use it like we use it, it becomes very dynamic. I mean, you and I, you know, I know. People on a call may not know and they may not believe it, but if we know it, it's the truth. We could be on the phone with our network we've built today. We could be on the phone 24 hours, 7 days a week, every day talking and networking with people. All I got to do is get on there. Somebody who's been following my stuff, say, hey, I've got some time tomorrow for a call. Could we get on a call? 9 times out of 10, they get on the call. And we may talk for a couple hours. I talked to somebody the other night from 12 o'clock midnight to 5 o'clock in the morning for free. I'm just giving. And then they tell everybody about me and all that kind of stuff. And I ain't doing it so they'll tell everybody about me. I do it because I'm passionate about it. So if it, that's the key, is getting in your lane, regardless of whether you work for yourself or you work in another organization. The key is to be passionate about what you're doing. Then you'll do all the stuff that Rhea and I are doing and sharing with you. And look, we'll get into talking a little bit about Evernote right quick before we go any further. If you're not familiar with Evernote or some of these other note apps, you can just touch on that, Rhea.
Sure. I love Evernote.
Just using it as a resource.
Okay, sure. So I love Evernote. If you don't have Evernote, it's an app. You can download it. You can put it on your computer. You can put it on your smartphone. It syncs between the two devices. So it's basically, it's always matching. It's always updated. There's a free version and a paid version. Either one are fantastic, but you basically can create notebooks and pages in those notebooks. So as you're, again, kind of beginning with the end in mind, start yourself a quote file in Evernote, because that way you've always got content. You know, as you're reading and studying and learning, start capturing those quotes in something that's, number one, it's electronic, so it's very easy to copy and paste, into your, whether it's creating a picture quote, and we'll talk about that in a moment, or posting a quote on LinkedIn, or, having that content will help you stay top of mind. So create your resource for yourself that you can always draw from that. The other thing is, because it's electronic, it's easy to create a page in Evernote and give yourself some standard replies. You know how we all have those email signatures? It's kind of a standard. It goes on every email. It just simplifies you having to type out the same stuff. You can do the same thing for your LinkedIn responses, so that as you're creating a response, when you get somebody who says, hey, I'd like to connect, you can figure out a way, maybe it's a paragraph, maybe it's two paragraphs, but spend some time and carefully create that response around your why. What's the elevator statement you want to share with this person who's wanting to connect? And you can save it, so don't recreate the wheel. Once you've got it, save it, and it's easy to copy and paste.
And let me jump in, Rhea.
Okay.
Let me just jump in and say, we're assuming people reply right here. There's a lot of people out there, they get a request to connect from someone, and they just click okay, and they just move on.
That's a good point. You're right.
They're busy. Go ahead and talk about that.
I don't know how many connection requests I get a day, but it's in the neighborhood of 30 to 50 on average. And almost every single one of them I accept, and I send them kind of my standard reply, but I tweak it a little bit. I customize it so that it fits them and it's appropriate. Because I want to stand out. The whole point of separating yourself from the crowd here is that you stand out as someone who's different. Well, the majority of people are just going to accept a connection request, because it's easy and we're busy. But you're exactly right.
Exactly.
Stopping to make that personal reply and kind of introduce yourself to that person, don't be duplicative. They've probably already looked at your profile, so maybe give them some other information or talk about your passion or, give them something, give them a quote, just be that giver. It will separate you, and in fact, most of the time I get a response back, and that kind of starts that relationship. That's what it's really about. It's about building those relationships.
Yep. And for me, I've got several. Some of them I'll mention. If it's a lady, I'll tell them about Rhea's new book at the beginning. It's just brief, though. It's just two or three sentence paragraphs. That's all it is. Tell them you know, what we do. Thank them for connecting. This is who we are. We've been on a personal growth journey for many years, kind of thing. We publish a lot of books. We speak and we speak and teach on leadership at all kinds of events. That's kind of two paragraphs, and then here's a short 3-minute video of us enjoying life together, talking about growth and change. And I get more feedback on the little video that people watched it and enjoyed it than anything. And it's just a 3-minute video, and in our video, it was recorded when we were speaking. So I can't tell you how many times I get feedback from people who are motivated and inspired by the video. And it's kind of a marketing video, but it's got value in it. And mm-hmm. And they don't have to buy anything. They just listen to the little 3-minute video. But it also introduces us. They get to see us, hear us, feel us. And instead of most people just hit, okay, connect, and they've done nothing. And we can stay so busy. You know it, Rhea. We can stay so busy. If we want to get busy talking to people, it takes like 2 seconds, and we get instantly busy as we want to be. But we don't do that because we got other stuff going on.
Sure.
So how do we do that? Let's move in. Go ahead.
Let's talk about that. So I love picture quotes and memes, as they're called, because people love picture quotes, and they'll share them. And it can be an incredible way to start sharing your brand. So there's a couple of different free sites you can use, or very inexpensive. We use PicMonkey.com. That's PicMonkey.com. I think they have a trial base, but then the premium account is very inexpensive. I think it's like $5 a month. And you can use that to create your own picture quotes and your own memes, and you can brand those. So all of the ones that we create, we put our website on, because we want to be driving traffic to that website. So you can create
you ever see anybody share some with somebody else's website on?
Oh, absolutely. You know it happens all the time.
All the time. And what's that doing for your brand if you're sharing somebody else's brand?
Yeah, that's true. You know, anytime we're sharing someone else's picture quote that has a different website or a different brand on it, you know, it's not ours. It's an opportunity missed.
Yeah, and we don't do that. We make our own.
But most people do, because we love inspirational quotes. We love, especially when they're paired with a great picture, you know, it's something that gets you fired up, and there's truth in it, and, you know, it touches people emotionally. And those get shared and passed around and liked, and every time they do, they're spreading your brand. So be intentional about creating those memes. Go ahead.
And I just want to add in there, Rhea, about that, because it's so easy to take shortcuts. People just get online and go look up some quotes and say, make some memes. Or it's really easy to share others. That's why most people share other people's memes, because it's easy. It's a lot easier for me to share one that somebody else has shared already, or somebody gave me that ain't got my stuff on it, than to go make my own. But that's what you get the results of taking a shortcut when you take one, which is directing somebody to somebody else's website. The other thing is, I only share quotes that I get out of reading books or listening to audio or being in person and taking notes. I mean, I want people, again, based on what Simon Sinek teaches, start with why. I want people to know what resonates with me. I share quotes that resonate with me so that I attract people who believe what I believe, at least on that small scale. If they like a quote I shared on a small scale, we at least already know we're connected on that level, versus just capturing random quotes out of the blue and sharing them.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, too, you can add hashtags when you're posting those memes, because, again, that'll attract more readers, more followers, and ultimately more connections, increasing those the ways people can find you. Something that you and I like to do is kind of alternate. So we have our own quotes at this point, some of our own books or blogs, or sometimes you'll say something and I'm like, man, that's a good quote, you know. So alternate as you're putting out some of this content. Don't hesitate to mix in some of your own. You know, if you've said something that really resonates and it's a good quote, well, put it on the meme and share it, because again, that's giving value. But it also, if it's resonating with people, they'll come back to you for that. They'll start to see you as that credible resource. Again, whatever the topic is, it could be real estate, it could be leadership, it could be resilience, whatever your lane is, stay true to that. But don't hesitate to share your own material. Something that we just have to touch on here is that you can get royalty-free images, pretty inexpensive. I love the pricing structure it's a website called 123rf.com. Shutterstock.com has some, Adobestock.com. There's plenty of royalty-free websites out there, but particularly making sure that if you're using images to earn revenue or something like that, that you're not violating intellectual property or copyright laws. I mean, you know, you can get tons and tons of pictures even on Google, or you can create your own backgrounds in PicMonkey. But again, just make sure that you're respecting anyone's copyright or intellectual property, or give credit. You know, a lot of times there's a place, even in LinkedIn now, you can cite the image source if it's someone's direct intellectual property.
And also, whenever you're making your memes, they've changed it recently. LinkedIn's been changing a lot of stuff lately. But the memes, we make our memes, most of them. There's some that vary, but the standard is 744 by 400. And when you use PicMonkey, it's the bottom left button over on the left side, down at the bottom where you resize, so you can resize the picture. And the reason we make it that size is because a lot of times we use the memes later as a cover picture for a blog, and that's the size they want the blog to be. So if you make your meme 744 by 400, you're beginning with the end in mind, so that when you use it as a blog, a cover picture, it's already the right size. If you make the mistake and make it some other size, then it's going to be distorted when you try to resize it, or you're going to put it in there and it's going to be half the words are missing or won't fit, or, you know, some crazy like that going on. So that's that's a big piece of that.
Yeah. And you know, a time saver is go on and save those memes. You know, anyone that you create, save it, because guess what? Next year you'll still be needing memes. So save them. I like to save mine by the date, and I have about 700, so I put out twice a day so that I can consistently put out content for my followers. That way you're building those quotes and those memes for right now, but you're also building that bank for next year, so that next year you don't have to spend near as much time generating these memes.
Yes, and you can always add to it. Like Rhea's saying, I've got probably 800 and I still make some more, but when I got started, I had to make them. I'd make about 30 in a batch, which would give me 15 days worth, and I had to do that for the whole year. I had to make basically, you know, 750 roughly memes to cover. So I'd build a batch where I could go do other stuff, and then I'd make some more. So that's, like Rhea says, you can reshare them. If you're growing your network like we have, you know, this time last year I had just barely over 10,000. Today I have over 32,000. So 22,000 of the people were not even on my LinkedIn account last year. And the other 10,000, I'm sure they don't remember a meme I shared, you know, May 2nd last year.
And, hey, if it and was everybody good last year, it's good today.
It is. I mean, we see it. And actually, we see them getting a lot more views and likes and shares today. So as we're talking about this, the whole point of all of this is you're building your personal brand. People know who you are. And if you think about it, a lot of people, they just want to advertise. They just want to say, this is what's for sale, or this is what I do. And think about this. I was on the call with someone who hired us to speak today, and that person was saying, you know, I shared your blog months ago. You wrote a blog, and I couldn't even remember. Finally, after 5 minutes, I remembered the blog the individual was talking about. And he said, yeah, I printed that off, and I took it and shared it with my team. And that's adding value. I don't even know this person. I don't even know they were doing that. They didn't pay anything. But this person had printed off my stuff, my blog, my content, and was teaching his team with it. People are not going to print your advertising off and share it. People are not going to print off your advertisement and hang it in their cubicle wall so they can read it. It's not motivating and inspiring. And, you know, people won't share it. People are not going to carry around your advertising with them. So what you're trying to do is give content. People are not going to go call their friends and say, hey, you need to go look at this advertisement on this page. People don't do that. And so as you create this content, when somebody clicks share, they're endorsing your intellectual property and they're sharing it with other people. And that's where the abundance versus scarcity mindset come in. A lot of our blogs are top chapters out of our books. And some people say, well, I ain't going to give them my chapters away on my book. They need to go buy the book. Well, if they don't nobody know what the book is about, why would they go buy it? So we give. We constantly give chapters of our books away. They're all over the place. Eventually, every chapter of every book, actually, we write them too fast, Rhea. They probably won't be on there. But if they was faced for them, we would put them out because we put out about a blog a week. So that's what we try to do, 2 memes a day, one in the morning time, one in the afternoon. And we've got a global network. I mean, we have people basically in every country who are connected and following us. So for us, it don't really matter what time we're putting it out. And we don't really care from what country people are from. If they value in our content, we're glad to be serving them and helping them and adding value, giving value. We ain't adding value. When nobody has paid you, you're not adding value. You're giving value. You only add value after you get paid and you're trying to give more. So we call it, you know, giving value, and we give value first. That's what separates you. And a lot of people today, they're trying to build email lists, which we build email lists, but not to sell anybody something necessarily, just to give them more stuff. And there's things that they can buy, but they can ignore it. It's not just a sales email. And a lot of people today, they're trying to follow the big dogs out there in the world in whatever field they're in who've already been doing a lot of stuff, and they got a huge tribe. And when you're starting out, or you're trying to grow and build your network and your brand, you got to build your tribe. And the way you build it is the same way all the big dogs out there built it, except they did it 30 or 40 years ago. You build it by giving value and over and over and over and over. And today it's so easy to stick out because everybody's trying to sell you something. And one reason is a lot of people are trying to sell you because that's what the big dogs are now doing. Everything's about an email campaign and a funnel. I mean, they got tons and tons. Everybody's trying to sell, get somebody in a funnel. And when you start giving value, which is sharing your knowledge, it tells something about your character, and it also tells people you're knowledgeable about whatever it is you're sharing.
Good stuff. Okay. So, and we talked about blogs a little bit. You know, you can use those blogs. If you don't have a book, you could certainly use the blog that you're writing now to be a book in the future. So once you create that content, you know, maximize on it by using it again. If you're not currently writing blogs, go on and get a jump start. Put out 10 or 20 right now, you know, quick as you can over the next couple of weeks, because as you draw people to your profile, you want them to see that you've already got content out there. So the faster you can establish kind of a base minimum, the quicker it is to leverage those profile views. So, Mac, talk about a little bit, you know, we talked about putting out content and memes and blogs, but talk about how we can leverage that to actually build our network.
Yeah, this is another reason, like Rhea just said, and I've said it already, and I'm going to say it again because most people are going to miss it or either not do it for some reason, but it's the most important part. Get yourself squared away. What? Start with why. What? Get your summary squared away. You can put videos in your summary. You can put PDFs. A lot of people don't even know that. If you want to look at what all you can do on LinkedIn, go look at mine and Rhea's profile and really look at it. Look at the different pieces. You'll see we've got videos in our summary and in different places like that. And you can do that and leverage that. But get it ready to be seen by people who you want to attract to you. You got to appear attractive to those people. So get it ready. So, because what I'm about to teach you, and this is what's going to get you traffic, but it ain't going to matter if you got traffic until you look right when people come over to your profile. So you got to get all that squared away. Get at least 10 to 20 blogs, and then be prepared to do one at a minimum every other week. But I would say absolutely every week a blog. It don't have to be but 500 to 1,000 words, and that's a better size. People will read them if they're shorter. If they're longer, that's still okay. Serious people will read them, but a lot of other people won't. But if it's short, they'll read it, and they'll want to come back and read some more if they know you're doing 500 to 900 word blogs. So get your blogs out. Start getting memes out while you're preparing and getting your blogs out. So when somebody comes, they'll see, oh, Max got 10 or 15 blogs, and this is some good stuff. I can read it. And then I'll look at his activity, and Max got, you know, putting out leadership memes. So that person would know who I am and what I'm about pretty quickly. And if they're interested, they will send me a connection. So two ways. Once you're doing that, you're doing that consistently, you'll get some organic growth just through your existing network if you have one. Even if it's a small one, you'll start getting a little bit. So one thing you can do is you can start requesting to connect with anybody who liked your stuff. You can get on your phone or your computer. They've changed it now. It may only be on your phone, but it could also depend on your operating system of your computer or which phone you have. One of the two, if you got a phone or a computer, one of those you can get on there and look. If it says 1,000 people like your picture, you can click on there and it'll tell you who all these people are. And somewhere on one of your devices, you'll be able to see if they're not connected to you, it'll say second or third. So then if they've liked your meme or your blog, they're already telling you they like your stuff. They've already reached out to you. So I got one of those canned messages. I go in consistently and regularly and go back to these people and say, hey, thank you for liking a recent post or blog, sharing motivational, inspirational quotes and thoughts is a way I give value to my network. It'd be great to add you. So what I just told them is you've already liked something of mine. And if they don't remember, they'll go look at my profile. And if they actually like something of mine, they like what I'm putting out. So now they're more likely to connect with me. So that's something I didn't do until I had over 10,000 connections because my level of awareness was not to go try to connect with those people. But I don't want to just connect with everybody. I want to connect with people who value what I value. So if they're clicking on my stuff because someone else shared it, I may not know them, but they knew somebody I knew, or I got an open profile and they found me with hashtags or something. They're already telling me, hey, I'm one of them people. They're holding up their hand. And sometimes they'll follow you and not connect with you and you don't know it. But while you can build up to a 30,000 first-person connections. So that's one way to do it. What I've done to go from 1,000 connections to 10,000 connections was, and this was, again, in the beginning, I didn't know what I know now. I wouldn't have done much of this, but this is a good way to get started. Whatever business you're in whoever you are as a person, what you value. I started reading blogs about people who were popular. And there's tons of people
in the field you're in.
Yeah, popular in my field of interest. And
right.
And also that they had my kind of character. So I had to be interested in their content relative to the same type of content that I'm sharing. And then their character had to match my character. And that was the first piece. Do I like what they're saying and how they're saying it and what they're talking about? And let's say I do like it. And I can look right at the bottom. At the top, it says they shared it yesterday. So it's been out 24 hours. Down here at the bottom, it says 300 people liked it. Well, guess what? There's 300 people who believe and like something that I believe and like. So what I would do, I wouldn't request to connect with those people because they didn't like my stuff. They liked somebody else's stuff. But that stuff was related to my stuff. So, and again, this is what I did in the beginning. I don't do this anymore because we got too much other stuff going on now. But to build my network is how I started. And I would just go look at, I would click on them, click off of them, click on them, click off of them. Because if you don't know what that does, that tells other people. Some people hardly get any views. Like me and Rhea, we don't know who looks at ours because we get so many, we don't pay attention to it. But people who are not getting many views, they're always looking to see who's looking at me because that's what everybody wants to know, who's looking at me. So when you click on and click off about that fast, if I clicked on Rhea's profile, clicked off of it that fast, Rhea would get a message that says, Max Story viewed your profile, but I didn't really view it. All I know is Rhea liked something that I like. So I wanted to tap her on the shoulder because I know she's going to look at me. So I tap her on the shoulder, and she don't get any views ever. And then today it says, Max Story looked at you. So she's like, who is Max Story? And guess what she does? She comes actually looks at my profile. And I already know she likes leadership stuff because I had just read a leadership article that I really liked, and she had clicked at the bottom that she liked it. And LinkedIn's nice enough to provide me a long list of everybody that liked it. I can now tap her on the shoulder and say, look at me. So now because I've got my profile squared away, I've got blogs, I've got stuff, and I'm looking like a leadership guru and expert. When she looks at it, she says, oh, I like what he's putting out. And she requests to connect. And I did that for the first year and went from 1,000 to 10,000 connections just by doing that.
You know,
and then I learned about go ahead, Rio.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, I kind of relate it to dressing up for the job interview. You know, you have to dress for the position that you want when you walk into that job interview. And it's kind of the same thing on LinkedIn. You have to have that profile for the job you want or the position you want, whether it's setting yourself up as that author or that expert, or setting yourself up for that next job that you want, the next job opportunity working for someone. It's not any different than dressing up for that job interview. You want to make sure that your best side is consistently put forward.
Absolutely. And that's the good thing, the way, you know, we've learned to leverage LinkedIn, and this is all common sense, but it ain't common practice. First of all, it takes a lot of time to do all of this now, especially the way we've been doing it the last year with the memes and all that. But you get a better connection when it's your stuff that somebody's liking. But even if they're liking somebody else's stuff, I mean, it's still telling you so-and-so put this blog out yesterday and these people liked it within that amount of time. It tells you they like leadership content. It tells you they're at that level of awareness. They're seeking knowledge from other people who are in your industry or business. I mean, you can do the same thing. If I was in real estate, I'd be looking up real estate blogs on whatever. And if I hadn't ever written blogs, I'd go look up real estate blogs and see which ones are popular, what kind of content. And I'd start putting that stuff out. I'd start making my own, though, not sharing theirs. I'd start reading that type of content. Some people say, well, I don't want to read all that stuff. Well, then you're not passionate about it. You need to go find another job. So if you're not wanting to do all the stuff we're talking about relative to whatever your profession is today, you're in the wrong profession. And that's what a lot of people are missing. A lot of people want to know, why y'all so successful? It's because we do this 24/7, 365. And when I say this applies to you and whatever, what are you doing? And we do it for free. We do it for free just as much as money. And I would put so much more stuff on my LinkedIn account just because I'm always wanting to do it. I'm wanting to write some stuff and put some stuff out there. But that's another thing. You can't put too much. And that's one reason I hardly ever share anybody's stuff, not even Rhea's, because I put out kind of what I call the maximum amount of my stuff, which is 2 memes a day and a blog or 2 a week, usually only 1. And then I'll put a little bit of random stuff, but not too much. Because if you put too much stuff, people are going to unfollow you because they don't want to see all your stuff. I see some people who go on Twitter and they put stuff like every hour, and I think that's what you're supposed to do on Twitter. I don't know. I don't care about Twitter or Facebook. I paste stuff out there, but it's because I copy and paste from LinkedIn. It takes me 5 minutes, and maybe somebody out there is getting some value from it. I really don't care if either one of them are on for me. But it works for some industries very well. But for leadership development, personal growth, which is what we're in, it don't work. So you got to figure out the principles that apply to the different social media. We're trying to teach you about LinkedIn. But I see some people, I've seen somebody who's got like 1.5 million followers on LinkedIn, and they're putting out stuff every hour. And I see that they do the same thing on Twitter. They're putting out stuff every hour. And then I see them doing the same thing on LinkedIn, and they get 3 likes. 5 likes. It's probably because everybody on LinkedIn has unfollowed them. If they would only put out something once or twice a day on LinkedIn, it would change the way everything's happening, because they don't understand, they don't know what they don't know. They're following practices and they're not learning principles.
You know, one of the reasons, you know, regardless of the end goal for everyone listening and even listening to the recording, you know, having that large number of connections and interactions on your LinkedIn profile really increases your credibility for those who do come to visit, because it's really creating that platform. And what's interesting today is that you almost have to have a platform before you get notice, I guess, because it's such a noisy world. You know, it used to be that you might get offered a traditional book deal and walk away with a six-figure book deal. But today it's almost like book publishers want you to have a following, want you to have a platform before you get to that level, because they're looking to see if you've created this platform, if you've been able to generate it by who you are and what you're giving, and creating that own content, because the game has changed. The social media has certainly changed the way we establish relationships.
And I'd like to add, for a lot of our coaching clients, one of the things that I say more than anything to our coaching clients is you have to be what you want to be before you get to be what you want to be. Most people don't understand that. Some people even say, you mean fake it till you make it? No, you won't be fake. Fake it till you make it if you want to be fake. If you want to be real, then be real before you get to be real. And that still throws people off. And what I mean by that, you got to do what you want to do, however you want to do it, without worrying about getting paid for it. People ask me all the time, how many books you selling? I don't know. I don't even care. I want to write books. And I want people to know I got a lot of stuff to say. And now we go set up, we got 18 books. It ain't because if I'd have worried about how many I sold to the first one, I wouldn't wrote any more books. But now we go set up and we got 18 books over here. And people come over there and say, oh, I love them books. Those are little books because we got smart and started making them little. And now people come up and say, I want to buy 18. I want to weigh every one of them. I'm like, okay. And the reason is because I became who I wanted to be while I'm getting to become who I want to be. And a lot of people miss that. And that's what you got to do with LinkedIn. We get people now, I mean, today or yesterday, I can't even remember when, but people hiring us to speak. Because if we're going to attract people. People hire us to speak. Someone last week hired us to speak, and they put it out to the world that they had selected us to speak, and we shared it on our LinkedIn account. And they got, like, the most likes they've ever had on their personal stuff or anybody else's stuff. They shared another big-name person. They got, like, 22 likes in 6 days. I commented on their post, and because I commented, it told everybody in my profile, hey, look at this, Matt commented on it. And we got over 200 in 24 hours, and it's just blowing them away. We've done some other things with groups where we're doing webinars and speaking and blogs and things like this, podcasts, and we share it on our LinkedIn, and it blows them away because they get so much traffic.
Sure.
So we wouldn't have been willing to do all the stuff we've shared up front just because we're passionate about it. Regardless if we're getting paid, regardless if we're getting business, we just do it. And all of the rest happens because of it.
Yeah, that's true. We did a webinar not too long ago, and because we shared the link, as we often do, because if it's something that's a resource, we want to be able to add value to people. And they had more than 50% registrations than they normally did. So, you know, again, it kind of comes back to, you know, start slow, but sometimes it's starting. What is the saying I'm trying to think of? Start, go slow to go fast.
Yep, take the time it takes so it takes less time.
Yeah, Pat Parelli. Yep.
Yep.
And a lot of times we want to rush through a process like this, but you can't build a tribe overnight. And it really is building a tribe. You know, you're creating a tribe of people who are following you because they value you and what you have to say. They share those same values. And that is a tribe.
And you're not going to build a tribe trying to stuff somebody into a sales funnel that ain't in your tribe. It ain't going to happen. They have to self-select. And they got to be there to self-select. If you're trying to get them there by putting them in a funnel, it's not going to work. It's just a principle. You're going to offend people, and they're going to feel manipulated and all that kind of stuff. And also, I tell you, when you're putting out your content, put out your best content, because everything is free out on the internet. You got to compete with free, which means you got to put out free stuff, and then you got to be better than everybody else's free stuff. And again, that's the reason your character is going to matter a lot, because not only does your stuff got to be good, but you got to be good as a person.
That's true. Okay, a couple other things I just wanted to touch on, and then we'll open up the line and kind of take some questions. And you and I didn't realize this until we hit the cap, but and maybe some people don't know, but you actually, sooner or later, it will happen that you'll run into somebody who doesn't value what you believe, and they could be maybe even downright rude or disrespectful on a comment or something like that, especially if it's, you know, I get people sometimes who want to make political comments or something like that where it's really just not appropriate, or maybe it's just not the kind of traffic that I want on my following. And you actually can block those people, just like you can block them on Facebook. You actually can block them on LinkedIn so that they can't see you and you can't see them. And that's a nice way of just minimizing some of the sometimes conflicting comments that pop up.
And some people just do it out of spite. They don't care if they are or not. They just on there being a different kind of person than we are. So you be sure, though, delete the comment first and then block the person. If you block the person, the comment's still
then
there.
You can't delete it.
You'll think it's gone. So just always screen capture the person, then I delete the comment, and then I go back and block the person. But you can only do that up to 250, and I've reached that. So now I have to put up with these people, and I just ignore them. Because now if I delete their comment, I can't block them. So then they get upset and maybe do something worse. So I'm like all the other people who have a lot of people following them. They're just a bunch of junk on there. And, I mean, not really. They're not a bunch. Most everything is positive. To me, if there's one comment on there, it's a bunch of junk. That's what I'm saying. So most of us, probably 90-95% of the comments we get are positive. But it's just those occasional ones. And usually they're not even close to believing what we believe. They're just second or third connection. Somebody shared something, or they just stumbled across it and just want to say something crazy. So, but I kept my profile positive up until that cap. I'd get rid of all the negative stuff off because I didn't want that to be who I was.
Yeah. For me, it's something that, I mean, I certainly respect that someone may have a different opinion, but when it becomes offensive to someone else, I think for me, that's when I feel the need to delete that. But there is a limit, so be careful with who you block, because you don't want to get in a situation of getting someone who really needs to be blocked and not be able to.
And 30,000 connections. 30,000 connections is the limit on first connections. You have unlimited followers. Like now, I have 30,000 connections. So what I'm doing these days is, because I get some people I really want to connect with, they send me a connection request. So what I have to do is every couple of days I have to go in, and a lot of people are still following, which is fine, but every few days I go in and I pick out some countries where I really don't expect to work or plan to work, like Iran. The other day I had 200 followers in Iran, which is, they can still follow, but they were actually connected as well. So I went in and disconnected from all those folks. And they can still follow me if they want to. But now I've got room. Actually, I've filled it up again since then. But I've created room for a better network of not better people necessarily, but better network of places where I actually want to be working or expect to work, where they speak my language, and maybe they can understand country. But at least they got a chance of understanding me.
All right. Anything else just you kind of wanted to touch on before we open up the queue and just see if there's any questions or if anyone has something we can help them with, or questions or clarifying comments?
I think we're good. I would say to go visit our topstoryleadership.com/storyteller, which is a coaching page that you've got set up, and there's a link in there. One of Rhea's blogs that's on LinkedIn. That's the easiest way to go find that blog, is go to topstoryleadership.com/storyteller and read on that page, and you'll see a link to her blog. And Rhea should be charging money for that blog. It's got a lot of stuff we talked about and some other stuff. But again, we give away your best content, and that's some of it. And so if you enjoyed this call and potentially may want to write books, that sort of stuff, go read that. And there's some valuable stuff in there. It won't cost you anything. And I think we're ready to open if there's any questions, Rhea.
Okay, awesome. So I'm going to open up the queue, and if you have a question, you can jump in the queue by pressing *6 on your phone, and then it'll ask you to confirm. And of course, we can just take some questions. So hold on a second. Let me open this Q&A up. Awesome. Okay, so if you had a question or something we didn't clear or talk about, we can take that. You can just jump into the queue by pressing *6 on your phone. Hello. Let's see. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, Mac and Rhea. Thank you so much for putting this call together.
Absolutely.
You guys have really done a great job building your LinkedIn presence. And, it's something that both Tanya and I want to model. My question, and Mac, I know that we have talked about this in the past, but we're starting a blog based on, some of the relationship work we're going to be working on in the future. But how do you differentiate what you put on LinkedIn when you're trying to build a brand in one space, but you're also working, you know, in the coaching and the speaking lane? Because I haven't spent a lot of time on my LinkedIn because I'm conflicted. Like, I don't want to send a mixed message, and then there's that other side of me that sort of doesn't have complete confidence in what we're putting up there. How do you figure that part out? Yeah.
Mac, I'll let you speak to that first.
Okay. All right. Hey, Tom. So, Tom, you're talking about if you got like two messages, is that what you're saying? If you got two different messages, you're worried about being two different people?
Well, you know, obviously, you know, working in leadership and personal development as a speaker and a coach, but Tanya and I are also working on building a blog, a presence for relationships, which is going to be more of a faith-based message.
Okay. I got you. What I would say there, because, you know, Rhea and I do that, and you'll understand this, we've talked, but I'll say it because a lot of other people maybe I haven't talked to, but I got my blue-collar leadership brand, and the majority of the people who are on LinkedIn are not worried about the blue-collar leadership brand. I mean, there's blue-collar people on there, but not the majority. The majority are white-collar. Even if they're in the blue-collar world, they're white-collar. But that's one example. Then Rhea, you know, I share stuff about some from Rhea's book and her story. And sometimes I share my personal story. What I would say there is, especially in the blogs, have a meme that obviously tells people what this is about and have a title that obviously tells people what this is about. And then they can self-select. You know, I'm not forcing, like if you didn't want to read my blue-collar leadership stuff, if I got something in the cover picture or in the title that says it's about blue-collar leadership, you're probably not going to quit following me just because that popped up today. You're just not going to read that. And then, but tomorrow, if I got a quote from my sales book, a blog being released from my sales book, it'd be obvious in the meme that's the cover picture and in the title that this is something related to selling and that stuff. So that's where I would say, because a lot of us have kind of different lanes. A lot of us are we're in one lane primarily, but that one lane can be divided into multiple segments. So that's really the way that I do it. I don't know if that's necessarily the right way to do it, but that's because I am all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be just one thing, but I'll let Rhea go. What I would make sure though is just like Rhea just created, I have a blue collar leadership website. There's nothing on there but blue-collar leadership stuff except the store. And we still have Top Story Leadership is like our top-level brand. That's us together. And,
yes.
And our website is where we really separate and become different things to different people. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Like my website, I got on a button-up shirt with a pair of blue jeans on in the picture because that's my blue-collar piece of me. That's who I am. But on Top Story Leadership and on LinkedIn, I got the suit and the tie. That's those people, that's what they won't see me in most of the time when I'm speaking and I'm being that person. Go ahead, Rhea.
Yeah, I was just going to add to that. It was a little bit of a growth process for me because, you know, I had the impression early on that I wouldn't share, like, content about my personal story or blogs or anything like that because it didn't really fit, you know, leadership speaker kind of thing. And it was kind of a growth process for me to realize that part of what makes me valuable or who I am today in that lane is my experiences and what I've learned from them. And so, you know, there are some marketing theories or thoughts that say, you know, stick to your niche and don't step outside of it. I would just share my experience that, you know, as I kind of grew through the process, I really just learned to embrace that other lane, if you want to say that. And what I realized is that there's room for both as long as you're careful about it. So, for example, almost every time we speak, even if it's at a corporate conference or something like that, I will share a little bit about that personal side of my experience and my testimony. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hit people over the head with it.
Hello?
I'm here, Tom. I don't know what happened with Rhea. Maybe she'll be back here in a second.
Talking to me.
I guess if you and I are talking, she still got the system going. So to what she's talking about, though, you know, I talk to her about it all the time. You know her backstory, being sexually abused by her father from age 12 to 19 in a tremendously, extremely horrible way. And, you know, I had coached and mentored her and helped her to understand she's not been the CEO of a big company. You know, who is she to teach leadership? And we all know the hardest person you'll ever lead is yourself. And she has mastered leading herself. So she's well, that's what ultimately at the root level of everything leadership, development, personal growth is about, is helping individuals lead themselves well. If they can do that, they can lead a team well. They can lead a company well. They can do all that. So that's where, you know, I share with her to be able to leverage her story becomes a foundational platform to do the rest of everything that she's doing.
Right.
Okay. I didn't catch everything that you guys said, but hopefully Mac was able to answer your question. Does that help, Tom?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you know, I think you, when you start to really recognize where your strengths are and, you know, what people, you know, appreciate that you're doing, sometimes it's not in alignment with the way you're trying to portray yourself. Like when you talked about introducing your personal story and things like that, you know, people look at you guys as leadership development trainers. I guess part of it is like, how much do you want to open yourself up? I have no problem telling my story, but I don't want to go from, you know, being someone that, you know, gets brought in on a six-figure deal and then all of a sudden telling a story about relationships. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I don't know. So, I mean, yeah, it's a fine line to navigate, but I think you guys have done a good job. So if I just keep my finger on the stuff that you guys are doing and see how you navigate it, I know it's working for you guys. So I guess
I'll give you one tip based on that, Tom, and anyone else who's listening. The way you do it, exactly what you just said, and we do it all the time almost naturally without thinking about it. You don't just tell the story and you don't just necessarily introduce it for no reason. Whatever you talk about relative to that, like you, let's say you're talking about relationships, you may tell the story, but don't forget, and it's what everybody teaches. Never make a point without telling a story. Never tell a story without making a point.
Correct.
What you can do is when you're making a point, if you want to, you know, if we're there to talk about leadership, we're obviously not talking about, you know, Rhea's story, but we may use it. Like, I'll use it. I can tell you exactly when I introduce her story a lot of times, it's when I say, I'll be teaching something and I'll say, you know, it's not what happens to us that's most important. It's your response to what happens to us.
Correct.
And I'll say, I'm going to share a story with you that I used to not be able to share, but Rhea's written some books. She gets on stage and talks about this, and it's a perfect example for you to understand. And see, what I just did was told anybody in the audience who may have interest in this, that Rhea's written some books and she speaks about it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to call it seeding. And then I'll say, you know, imagine, you know, I'll just say it briefly. Rhea was, you know, sexually abused by her father from age 12 to 19. And a lot of people who have that happen to them, the majority of those people, let's say there's three different people that same stuff happened to. And in your mind, you can paint whatever bad picture, bad stuff happens to people every day. So let's say three bad things happen. Same exact stuff happened to three different people.
Mm-hmm.
And with Rhea, what happened to her, a lot of people turned to drugs, suicide, alcohol, prostitution. That's what normally happens the most. And then when I met Rhea, she was like the second person. You would never know it happened to her, just like she is today. She was no different when she was 19 than she is today. You would never know anything like that was happening to her. Mm-hmm. And then the third person does what she's doing today. And here again, I'm saying it again, you know, she's got two books written about her story and she gets on stage and talks about it, you know, in depth. And same. And then I turn it back to the principal. The same exact bad thing happened to all three people. Nothing was different.
Mm-hmm.
So something was different because the outcome was different. And then I'll say it wasn't what happened to them. It was their response to what happened to them. And that don't determine all of your future, but it determines much of your future. And that's the way I see it in blue collar stuff. I mean, anything that don't fit, I make it fit by telling a story that teaches the principle. I don't just tell the story without some principle the principle has to fit.
Correct.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. It makes a ton of sense.
All right, sir. I appreciate you being on and sharing the message about the call. Hope you got some new value out of it tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay, Tom. So next question. Let me go on and unmute the line. Pablo, are you there?
Hey, Rhea. Hey, Mike.
Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hello, Pablo. How are you, sir?
I'm great, guys. Thank you so much for, you know, you guys just poured your hearts out into this call and on a topic that you said that you're not, it's not even your real passion, so I can't imagine how the rest of the
It's not helping people. Now, that's a passion. That's helping people. That's where the energy comes from.
Yeah.
Talking about LinkedIn, there ain't a lot of energy in that.
Well, either way, I've gotten some great nuggets out of this, and Tom, who just asked the question, I want to thank him again for letting me know, you know, to kind of pay attention, jump on this call, and so I appreciate you guys. I did have a question, and Tom asked a really good one, because that's so one's a question kind of piggybacking off of that, and then I do have a second question that's almost let me just ask the second question first. That's a real simple one. What was the name of the meme creation site?
It's pickmonkey.com, and it's spelled PICMONKEY.com.
Okay. And it's good, Pablo. It's good. It's simple. I mean, it's quality.
Okay.
There are some others out there. We just like this one best. And they don't give us any commission for promoting them, I promise.
Yeah, I was looking for Pink Monkey, and I guess I think that was...
I don't know, hey man, but be careful when you start typing in crazy things.
Hey, I get you. I hear you. So again, so I guess my question was, so I'm, you know, similar lane of two different messages, you know, and I have, so I've got two things that, you know, I'm doing coaching, speaking, and training as a leadership guy, right? That's that lane, as you want to call it, or I guess I look at it as roles. Right. So one of my roles is I'm a local community coach, trainer, and speaker when it comes to leadership. And so I'll work with a lot of different companies in that aspect, right, whether it's a sports team and they're working with their salespeople to sell tickets, or if it's a real estate office. But then I've got another business which is specifically it's a new program that I'm launching in a couple weeks, and it's specific to insurance folks, right? It's called Agents of Growth, and basically it's an online kind of mentoring coaching community. So I've been really focused on the one that's coming up, right? The Agents of Growth, because that's launching soon. But I also, at the same time, I don't want to kind of like forget about my local peeps, right? And so is it? I guess I was taking the meme thing and just kind of running with it and just saying, look, I'll just separate the message. If I'm hearing you guys correctly, it's I can still post to the same community, like all of my, you know, people, whether they're for insurance or local, and just make sure you separate it out either by hashtags or by the what I'm actually putting on the meme in the actual picture, right, whether it's the logo for the local stuff or the logo for the other thing. Am I hearing that correctly?
For the blogs?
For the blogs and
the meme, right?
And the memes, right? Or even just posts or quotes or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You could change, you know, on the meme, you could have different .coms on it or whatever, different tagline. And much of, you know, that would be broadcasting that out and sharing those links. But then also, if you, again, everything I do is about principles. And if you're really teaching and sharing and talking about principles, it's probably almost going to apply to everybody. What was what you said? Three different things you're trying to do, right?
Well, it's really two. I mean, one is.
And what are those again?
So one's I'm a trainer, speaker, and coach.
Relative to leadership.
For leadership,
and
then the other thing is Agents of Growth, right? And that's an online, or I'm sorry, a virtual, you know, continuity program for mentoring and coaching for insurance professionals.
Okay, so yeah, see, like those professionals, if you're talking from a leadership standpoint, those insurance people, they're going to need the same exact principles and teaching, especially like you talk about communication. I mean, everything is, it needs to be just kind of generic. The principles need to be taught generically. It don't have to be catered to an insurance because, see, if, and it's going to allow you to grow your network even bigger because it's just like the little sales book I just wrote, Who's Buying You? I decided, you know, salespeople do a lot of seminars and a lot of conferences, probably more than anybody. And I'm a leadership guy. And a lot of times they don't want to talk about leadership. They want motivation, inspiration kind of stuff. And I said, how do I do that? And so I wrote this book, which is nothing but how to sell with character and integrity. But I wrapped it. I wrapped all these principles in selling, about seller beware, about, you know, who you are 24/7, 365 is your brand as a person, which is going to impact how you sell because word of mouth, everybody's giving you word of mouth. Even if they never buy from you, if somebody sees you drunk at a tailgate party at the ball game this weekend and they hear somebody talking about you, they might be going to buy a house from you and you're a real estate agent. Man, I saw Mac down here the other day. You know what I'm saying? Everybody is advertising, good or bad, about you. And that's what I talk about in that book. And then I talk about authenticity sales, integrity sales, character sales, relationship sales. And see, actually, that little book, insurance people, they sell an insurance, right? That book would be for them just as well as it would be for a car dealer. I wrote it around principles. They apply to everybody. And actually, it'd be good for any individual person because it tells them how to sell themselves to anybody, to the boss, to the HR person that's going to hire them for a next job. Does that make sense? When you get down to start teaching about principles, and see, since you have an insurance twist in there, I would just like mine is blue collar, 24 years in the blue collar world. No matter who I'm teaching leadership to, most of my stories are blue collar. That's okay. I'm a blue collar guy. And if I was in the insurance business, I'd still teach the same stuff, but all of my stories would be related to the insurance business.
Right.
If I was trying to hit that. So you can do it. As long as you're using real hardcore principles and you're clarifying that in the message, and your message is really about leadership, not about selling insurance, like how to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you know about, you know, it takes energy to connect. And you start sharing stories of what does that look like in the insurance business. It takes energy to connect. You know, it may be going out, maybe working late, maybe all kinds of things. But that also applies to everybody else. Maybe staying late when I don't get paid to stay late. But I'm there to do a bigger and better job, to do more than expected before it's expected, better than it's expected. Does that make sense or no?
Yeah, absolutely, Mac. That makes a ton of sense, and I appreciate that. Can I ask one more question? I know I said two.
Let me just say one more thing right there. I will. You can ask that, but I want to say, most of the time people get tangled up around what you're talking about when they're trying to talk about practices, and they're not talking about principles.
Okay, right.
Most people, because I'm trying to grow this thing for insurance people, so I got to make it fit insurance people, which usually would take in a lot of practice. But if you're talking about principles, you can still make it fit insurance people, but it fit everybody else too.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny you say that, Mac. I mean, so much of the content that you know, as a JMT member, I have access to, it literally I can just add the word insurance in front of.
That's what I'm talking about.
Leadership, and it doesn't
make matter. It applicable.
Right.
Okay.
Guys, there's nobody else in the queue right now, so I just wanted to say that. Yes. I know. That's why I'm saying there's nobody else in the queue. So yes, please go on and ask your question because right now there's no one else in the Q&A queue.
Well, I'm sure that somebody else got questions. I just shy to hit the button. And it's just so my last question was so with that program that I'm launching in a couple weeks, right? I'm promoting it now, right? I've got the webinar And really, I'm not calling it a webinar because no one wants another webinar. And so I'm calling it a free training, right? It's a free training. And I guess, you know, I'm going to post it on LinkedIn. And really, I've been told and working with marketing folks, like they say, you know, no one really cares about them if you're 3 weeks or longer out, right, because they just forget about it. So am I potentially risking ruining or damaging my reputation as a LinkedIn connection if I not just by posting it on my LinkedIn wall, but then by also going in and personally kind of inviting, say, hey, we'd love for you guys to come join this free training, come take a look at this, register, check it out, whatever it is, as a just a personal message individually. That would take a lot of time, but hey, if I can get the word out as a second touch, is that what do you think on that?
Well, let me tell you what I do. And you're talking about going in and sending each one of them an individual message, right?
Right. So it could be potentially thousands.
Yep. So just like we're speaking in Houston or Galveston in June. And it's a workshop. We're speaking at like several thousand people at a conference for environmental health and safety 30th annual seminar kind of thing out there. And we're speaking two breakout sessions, one on communication, one on change. And then actually we've got a full day workshop around my two blue collar leadership books. And this is again why building this network. There's so many things about why you build this network the way we taught you to build it earlier, and to go get intentional and just do it day after day. I don't know if I even said we spend 2.5 hours every day for the last 2.5 years each growing our network. I mean, that's basically a full-time job. But like when we're going to Houston, I get on here on LinkedIn and I type in Houston, and it says, and I say first connections, and it tells me I've got 500-600 connections in Houston. And it's because I don't know those people, most of them, but it's because they've been following me and I've been building my network this way. And what I do for them is I went through all of them, just like you said, one at a time. Are they a blue-collar person? Are they working in a blue-collar industry? And if they were, I sent them that message and I also looked at their activity to see, because I can look at their activity, and if they've been liking my stuff, I know they already know who I am, even though I don't know who they are. They've been reading my stuff. So the first thing I did in my message was thank them for liking and sharing my content that resonated with them, because they may not really remember that it was me or tie the two together, but first thing I did was told them, you've been liking my stuff and thank you for doing so. And then I want to let you know I'm going to be in your area and this is what we're doing. And I just two or three little short paragraphs and a link to the event. And I did that at an event here in town. In Atlanta, I had over 1,100 connections here when I'd done that event. And what was funny is I wrote a blog. See, I would write a blog on the things that I was doing in advance during that 2 weeks. If I was doing like you're doing, I would have wrote a blog on that. And I would have had something on my website or something. The blog would have had meaningful content that anybody could have got value from. Then in there, I would say I'm hosting this, and there would be a link to something else, because the blog is going to stay on there. You can't delete it. So I would add value that way and then have some hyperlinks and a little message or something in the blog. So I would write, if I was going to host something here in 2 or 3 weeks, I would do maybe 2 blogs a week between now and then, actually giving value to my normal network. But at the same time, somebody who valued this blog would also see, here's something deeper for me to dive into, but it ain't predatory marketing and selling. They can skip it and never be bothered by it, or they can click on it and go find out what that's about. So that is something we do. But the real value in our network comes from these 2.5 years of building it up and just giving. They don't just see us when we're doing an event. They see us the majority of the time just giving them stuff. And it's the same way about our books. I share tons of chapters from the book, and at the bottom it'll say, don't stop here. If you enjoyed this, don't stop here. You can continue. This is an excerpt, chapter 3 of 30. From so-and-so book, and the name of the book is hyperlinked. They can ignore that, never be exposed to selling, or they can, not really, just minutely, or they can click on it and go see what the book's about and maybe buy it. And we get a lot of book sales that way.
Okay, wow.
Great question.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Pablo.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, so next question here, and unmute your line. Area code 228, go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, Rhea and Mike, it's Stephanie.
Hey,
Stephanie. How are you?
How are you?
We're doing well.
Fabulous.
Good. Listen, I have a question. The articles when you guys were in town that I was sharing with y'all, when I am writing for publications and I don't sign any kind of contractual obligation, is there a shortcut to be able to publish those on LinkedIn, or am I free to do that? Or can I put them in and say, you know, as published December of 2015, Bella Grace Magazine? Or how do you do that? Because I have probably material that's just sitting. I've just not been a big LinkedIn user and have really been following what y'all are working on. And so when I have things, I have 2 years' worth of articles I've written on real estate and then on my head and heart alignment leadership. So I would like to start kind of feeding those in. But do I have to say that it's been published, or is it to my benefit to do that? Can you kind of touch on that?
Sure. That's a great question. If you contribute an article, they will maybe want you to sign something that says it's exclusive, it won't be republished. I mean, of course, if that's the case, then honor that. It's very seldom. It's interesting because we get approached by a lot of people who are like, boy, we'd love to have an article, but will you sign our agreement that says it's exclusive and you won't republish it? And my answer to that is no, because I really prefer the abundance mindset. You know, if it's something that's going to help people, I want to share it. I don't like that controlling aspect. So, you know, if it's your intellectual property, I'm of the opinion you should be able to share it and spread it. But, you know, my view may not be everyone's, and that's okay. But if there's no agreement in place, you know, and you want to repurpose that content, I absolutely would. You could do it a couple different ways. Assuming it's a digital, there's a digital link to it, you could write a blog and say, you know, maybe do the first paragraph and say, okay, the rest of the blog is here. That drives some traffic to their website. You know, I do a lot of podcasts and interviews and like things like that. So, you know, I want it to be a win-win. You know, if somebody interviews or shares one of my blogs, I want to be able to drive them some traffic. So I like to share the link via blog or via just a post on my social media blast, so that, you know, that they get some value and some views too. It's kind of sharing networks, if you will. You know, there will be people who read your stuff if it's published elsewhere that may not be in your network. And then there'll also be people that learn about their publication who were not even currently aware they exist. So I think it's great to share. You know, if there's no agreement in place, you don't have to. I like to come at it from the approach of everybody wins, you know, if you can. And it, you know, especially if it's a hard copy magazine and it's not a digital platform, that, you know, you may not can do that. But you could certainly say, hey, it was published first in, you know, December of whenever. I think that is credibility. And I'll let Max speak to that as well. But, I mean, I think people find value in saying, hey, you're a published author. And, you know, it just kind of makes them feel like, oh, wow, this is another level of credibility. Mac, do you have other thoughts?
Yep, I agree with everything Rhea said, and there's different ways you decide how to do it. You could put your complete, like you said, there's no agreement, so it's your stuff. So you could put the full thing, you could put your full article on there at LinkedIn as a blog, and at the bottom you could say this was featured in so-and-so, and if it is an digital electronic, they got a website or whatever, you could, where you're saying it was featured somewhere else, you could actually hyperlink that so somebody could go there and see it. And if it was not, you still could say it was featured in some magazine, and that would, or whatever type of media it was, and that gives you credibility too. And like Rhea said, you could put a paragraph or two at the beginning and get them kind of interested in it if you wanted to, and then say, to continue reading, click here, and then it takes them to that website, like she said. The other thing you can do, and you may have done this already, you didn't really ask this question, but, and I don't know exactly the publications, all that type stuff, but there's an area on the main profile for publications. Like we use them, if you go on to my profile or Rhea's, you'll look down below our summary and our work experience, all that resume looking stuff, and then you'll see my 9 books publication when I wrote them, released them, a little bit of information. You can, any magazine, any stuff like that, you can go in there and list that. You can also put in a link to the website and all that type stuff. So you can list just that you've been featured in publications that way as well.
Okay.
Let me ask you on
the place where it says publish, and I'm not sitting in front of my computer. I just forgot I hadn't gone to vote today. So I'm running out to do that. where it says to publish, and it opens it up, and it almost is like you can copy and paste your info if you've got it saved in Word. Is that where you mm-hmm. guys do most of that, and then just you hit publish?
Yeah, it goes wherever you put in, like, a comment, a normal just little written comment. Right below that, uh-huh. it says the image and write an article, and that's what you're talking uh-huh. about. You click on write uh-huh. an article, and it opens up the blog feature in LinkedIn, and
you post it
right in the bottom, and across the top, there's a few tools like bold, italics, a pull quote, I'm trying to remember, underline, just a few things, put in a hyperlink, very few tools in there, but that's where you put it in, and you can actually edit it a little bit, you know, format it a little bit. And then exactly right. Once you're done, you go up to the top right side, you hit publish. The thing is, you can't delete these things. You can edit them. Once you get them in there, you can edit it, but you can't delete it. So you go, as soon as you hit publish, it's going to ask you for hashtags. So you can put hashtags in there. And before I hit OK, I always copy the hashtags, because as soon as you hit OK, it's going to publish it. But then it's going to say, do you want to share on Facebook and Twitter? And if you do, especially Facebook, you don't have to retype the hashtags again. You just copy them before you release it. And you can pop them in there, and you can add a comment. And same thing for Twitter. But a lot of times the address will eat up the 140 characters in Twitter, so you can't necessarily use all your hashtags in there, but you can do it in Facebook.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You're welcome.
You can definitely leverage that content and start getting it out there.
Yeah. Well, once you create it, you want to be able to share it. Well, awesome. Great questions. There is no one else in the queue right now, so I'll give you just a couple minutes. If you had a question, feel free to jump in the queue by pressing *6 on your phone. But otherwise, we'll start to wrap up. This has been a great call. Lots of fantastic questions. And you know, what's interesting is we really went in depth into some of this on good questions that you guys asked, that things we really didn't think to talk about. It's one of the reasons we love to do that, because we learn what's valuable and what's helpful, and you know, what's helpful information for everyone.
Absolutely, Rhea. You know, while we're waiting, make sure there's no more questions. You know, I read this in a book the other day, and I forget which book, because I'm reading a bunch of them, and I think it was a book, but I believe it might have been Jeffrey Gittimer in one of his sales books, but I'm pretty sure it is. He says, it's not who you know, it's who knows you. And a lot of people think that. They think it's who you know. What everything we talked about right here was helping people know you. And we've been referred. I mean, we've been referred for $24,000 speaking engagements and $10,000, $5,000. And people who we don't even know, who knows us, who believes what we believe, and then they sit in a meeting one day and they hear or do some type of training, and then they say, well, I know the perfect person. I've been following them for however long on LinkedIn, and you get referred. And one of those people, I mean, actually both of them people, I didn't know either one of them personally.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. It can be a very powerful platform, as we've discovered. So,
and one more question.
Okay, go ahead.
I know. You know, I always got one more.
We'd be here until 8 o'clock tomorrow.
This is to leave them hanging. And I just want to say two little things. One thing is, will advertising position you as an expert? It won't. But content will. And you don't have to pay to produce content. You just produce it. You have to pay to advertise, and it don't even position you as an expert. It tells everybody you're an expert maybe, but it don't position you as an expert. So let people know who you are and what you value and put your content out there. The other thing is we say this all the time when we speak, and I always like to ask people at the end this question. I learned it from John Maxwell, who learned it from his 90-something-year-old father when he was a kid. But basically, we always ask this when we get done speaking. Five frogs sitting on a log. Four decide to jump off. How many are left? And we tell them it's not a trick question. And usually, quickly, somebody will say one. A bunch of people will say one most of the time. And then I say, I warned them it's not a trick question. Let me say it again. Five frogs sitting on a log. Four decide to jump off. How many are left? Then somebody will usually say five, and I'll say why. And that person will say, because they decided. And this is my challenge to anybody who's been listening on this call. If you heard something tonight and you decided you need to do it, you're still on the log. Tomorrow when you go to work or you do whatever it is you do, if you haven't done it, you're still on the log. Until you actually go do it, not a single thing has changed except for you heard about it. And that's what happened when I heard that mentor of mine say, I'd give up my website before I'd give up my LinkedIn. And I decided I need to learn about LinkedIn. And today we've made tens of thousands of dollars because I actually jumped off the log. And the thing I tell people, when you jump off the log, you land on another log. And you need to decide to do something different, which means you got to jump off of that log, which is intentional, endless growth. That's all I got tonight, Rhea. Thank you. You've done
awesome.
An outstanding job.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
We appreciate I hope it's been valuable, some great takeaways. Everyone have a wonderful night. Take care.